You think you know me?
Number 24, WrestleMania. Nah,
you only got that because it says 24 on the.
I know, but
screen.
I learned like 3 weeks ago to just look at it right.
What
when
if
you
I
said
what if
up.
I didn't say it and it was 23? You know.
What?
All right.
What if I didn't say it and it was 20? It still said 23. Then
you kill my buzz.
I would stick with 23.
You kill my buzz, man. I get the edge song. You know, I'm feeling the edge over here. You're just killing it, dude. You're killing it.
I got the number right, man.
So we got.
You should only care about the results.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then I shouldn't watch wrestling then.
So very true. Very true.
So we got Better Have My Donuts over here. I'm Bad News Ramen. We're up to the producer Jason getting the Edge theme song on short notice. So let's get on to it real fast, and let's get into the edited footage. I've actually been surprised, really, with what's been going on with a certain individual, so I'll let you set it up and then we can go from there.
A certain individual from a certain town. I thought, you know, there was some pretty good steps taken over the last couple of weeks with Ryback. We kind of spent a lot of time, like, banging on Ryback, and rightfully so, but I think they're kind of going in a good direction here. I mean, whether it was good or not, I mean, you could debate that, but the fact that they're actually adding a little depth to his character is pretty good. I kind of thought, like, my takeaway was, he did a decent job laying out what the reasoning, what the attack was, and I thought that he wasn't terrible on the pre-recorded promo, right? So I'll give him that, like, you know, I guess if you give him the script and put him in the room and stuff, you know, he can deliver a little bit. You know, he still went out at the end of the show and just stood there and had a blank stare at Cena for about 7 minutes while he kind of tore him apart, you know. But at least it's progress, I think. So,
well, in no way does it compare to the edited footage of Macho Man. I mean, nothing would beat the edited footage.
Take a look at the edited footage, yeah.
But it was, I was, not to be cliche, but I was pleasantly surprised with Ryback. I didn't look at it or watch this promo and go like, God, turn this guy off. It was decent. It actually, I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm not, this doesn't bother me. She's showing that he can do something else.
Right.
And it just kind of lends to the whole fact that when he was having his face run, he was playing a certain role and that's all they gave him. And it really makes me kind of question WWE going, okay, if you're going to make this guy like probably your second face and this is all he can do as a second face, and then now he's quasi turning heel and he's showing more of a side that can actually articulate instead of just being a beast or a monster saying, feed me more. I thought it was fine. The whole Shield angle coming out, I thought it was the right time for the Shield to come out. Mm-hmm. You knew that Ryback wasn't going to jump in. And it was the biggest problem I had, I guess, with the whole thing was your main event is Cena doing a promo at the end or doing that at the end. It's the tried and true method of failing.
It was,
you know?
And it was even more than that because I think the last 45 minutes of the show went. There was another promo which was mediocre, and then they had the Divas match which was pretty bad, and then they went with the Cena and Ryback promo. So it was like the last 45 minutes of the show was promos and a bad Divas match. So that I don't like. I mean, if you need to fit those promos into the show, I'd say spread them out. You know, especially coming off the heels of what was, you know, by most considered one of the better Raws that there's ever been. You know, I would say you want to follow that up with a strong show. And, you know, the internet wrestling community kind of said the show wasn't very good. I thought it was all right. The thing that I liked about it, even though I think long term down the road, I'm going to end up not liking what came out of this, but it was unpredictable again.
What aren't you going to like that's coming out of this?
Well, okay, it was unpredictable, so in the moment, I don't really have a problem seeing Cesaro.
It was unpredictable to you? I think once Cesaro lost, then he knew that every champion that was going to go through was going to lose a non-title match. But
yeah, well, I kind of would have thought Dolph would have won. To be honest, I thought they would have had Dolph win just because you know now they've actually given him the belt. So I kind of assume he might start winning some matches.
Well, how does that make you feel? He finally wins the belt, and there he is again, jobbing. The biggest problem I had with this show wasn't the Cena promo. The Cena promo was a cap off to a show that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. The wrestling was very good, and lo and behold, I actually watched the wrestling. I think there's maybe, I think I probably watched all of it. The thing I didn't like was, I have no problem with Cesaro losing. What I did have a problem with, and what I've had a problem with Cesaro the past 2-3 weeks, or it's just weeks, is his dumb yodeling act. I don't know why. You built this guy up. This guy speaks way better in the ring in terms of actual ring work. And then you're going to give him like a yodeling gimmick. You're going to give something, okay, is he a good yodeler? Yeah, he's a good yodeler. But, you know what, I've seen fat ladies, you know, with a stein in their hand yodeling, and everybody's all drunk, so they think it's good. I just don't understand. Are they doing it because they're setting him up to lose, so he will lose, so it's not that big of a deal? So maybe the smarks like us are saying, like, thank God I don't have this guy yodeling anymore. You're burying a very good wrestler. In true champion form, he made Kofi look good. Kofi had a great match. I thought Cesaro had a really good match, too. So there wasn't any losers in that. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a proponent of Kofi winning a belt to give me a reason to watch the guy. I think the guy is talented. But in terms of, he doesn't have a belt on, he doesn't have any legitimacy in terms of, why would I watch this guy, you know, fight? I guess the main thing is now he actually is a champion. Maybe he can go against Cesaro now in a non-talent match. We can see Cesaro win for a while. Now that Cesaro is not a champion, maybe we'll see him win more often.
I highly doubt that. I do have a plan for Cesaro. What I would like to do, what I'd like to see happen.
Is this fandom now? Or?
Yeah, it's complete. But, it's based in things that could realistically happen.
You're going to dye your hair orange and bleach your face and start, you know, musing away about things you want to see?
Nah, not at all.
You're going to turn emo on me or what?
No, it's going to be succinct, man. It's going to be succinct. So by many accounts, one of the more seasoned guys in NXT is a guy named Cassius Ohno, formerly Chris Hero, who I saw.
Was he formerly Chris Hero? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I know the guy. Okay.
Yeah. So Chris Hero, when he came to NXT, became Cassius Ohno. But I watched. I haven't seen a whole lot.
How the hell do they have Chris Hero down in the NXT levels for how long, dude? I mean, this guy is a straight up performer.
That's what I'm saying. And like,
along the lines of Cesaro. And yeah. I'm sorry, I'm keep on cutting you off. I'm just
That's twice now. It's more like five
times. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't say I'm not the biggest Ring of Honor guy. When I got a little bit of it when it was on HDTV. So there was like about a year or so where I watched it pretty steadily, and I thought Chris Hero was really good. I thought Castagnoli was good in the ring. But I thought just kind of in ways of the WWE usually looks at things, I kind of thought Chris Hero was great in the ring, pretty good on the mic. I didn't know that they would accept his look for the size that he is and whatnot. I was surprised that Claudio Castagnoli, who is obviously now Antonio Cesaro, got to WWE so quickly. But I thought the two of them were really good together. Chris Hero can cut some really great promos. The guy's got like a ton of moves in the ring, especially like variations on a cravat and a really good rolling elbow too, if you haven't seen it. So he's a guy that's ready to go. I'd say if you're going to drop Cesaro down the card out of the title picture, that's fine, but bring Chris Hero up and let them be the tag team again, because they're a really, really good tag team. And it kind of leads into something else that I was saying, that I think we need to move forward on the exit strategy of Team Hell No. I think it's pretty much run its course. If they're going to have a last match going with Undertaker and Hell No against Shield, that's fine. But somewhere after that, they need to move away, because really right now, there's a lot of good tag teams out there that they've kind of brought the division back a little bit, I think.
And what are the good tag teams? Because there's two off my head that I have, but what else do they have besides Team Hell No and Primetime Players?
Primetime Players. I thought it was... with the whole weird situation with Rhodes Scholars, right? They're obviously their team again. I still like the Usos. I think that...
Yeah, but your boy got picked up for DUI or whatever.
What? But he wrestled after that, so he's still there.
Well, the Usos, I mean, let's be honest, the Usos are not—they're not going to get any type of run.
I'm not saying that they are, but what I'm saying is the division's deep enough. They got Road Scholars who are really good, primetime players who are kind of they're real tweeners right now, like kind of almost shifting to where they could make a solid face run. You know, you always got Primo and Epico who could play either side of it and put on good matches.
Good job,
yeah.
But they got Brodus Clay.
And you got Brodus Clay and Tensai.
He's Tensai. Okay. He's going to be Tensai.
Okay. Who also could put on some pretty good matches done in the right spots. And then if you bring in a team like, you know, what was once the Kings of Wrestling, Antonio Cesaro and Cassius Ohno and run them in, I mean, those guys are legitimate right off the bat. So, I mean, I think Hell No has been good for the division, but I think it's gotten to the point where they've really dominated to the division to the rest of its detriment, and it's time to let just kind of have a feeding frenzy on a bunch of teams that have been trying to break through. I think it'd be good.
I'm thinking of Team Hell No,
I didn't even mention the Shield, who, you know, it's kind of getting pretty widely speculated that they might get a tag team title run, and rightfully so. They want to go Freebird rule, great, but I mean, you know, that could be you could have a bunch of really good tag teams for the Shield to just kind of run through and, you know, cheat maybe if they need to go 2-on-3. But at least you'd have good legitimate teams out there. It could be interesting.
The two things. You're looking at Team Hell No, and they've had a dominant run. But I'm looking at all these old tag teams that have been dominant. Outsiders, Steiner Brothers, Legion of Doom, Road Warriors, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. Even to a point of demolition. They haven't been that type of dominant team. They've more kind of been based off of their mic work and everything. And they've been good. It's kind of funny. We talked about it about 3 weeks ago about their run as a title holders. And you gave them an 8. I gave them a 6 or a 7 just based off their personality and the lack of
opponents
they've had. If you say it's time for them to get out because you have all these other teams coming in, I really wouldn't mind seeing. If they're going to lose, I wouldn't mind them seeing them still in the picture, just to keep on fighting and having legit matches with other people. They don't have to win, but I wouldn't be objected to them losing and then 2 months down the line, 3 months down the line, they get it back and start some type of feud or rivalry that way.
I wouldn't object to that. The only thing I would say is it's very unlikely that the WWE would let them go through 2 or 3 months of losing matches. So that, you know, I'd rather if they want to let some of these other tag teams go. I mean, Daniel Bryan's primed to make another singles run.
But look at what you're saying though. Is you're saying that okay, since they lose, then they're going to lose for 2 or 3 months before they get the titles back. And what I'm saying is that if you're saying that the tag team is division is as strong as it's going to be, mm-hmm. They can win, and it's the problem with the WWE in general, is that they can win a lot of matches, just not win to the champions, and you can kind of have that whole going back and forth. That's what made the tag team division so good when they had the run with the whole Triple H, quote-unquote, push for tag teams. Mm-hmm. You had teams winning, you had teams losing. The end-all sale was Team Hell No, they've never lost. It wouldn't be bad to see them win against, you know, lose against whatever tag team you're going to put out there, but then kind of go up through the ranks and beat these other teams. And if you're saying that Chris Hero or Cassius Ohno and Cesaro as good as you say they are, it's time to kind of have that good in-ring work again, where it's not a gimmick match like you had with Team Road Scholars and the Dancing Doofus and the
Brodus and Sweet.
I'm talking about Kali and it's just kind of like a gimmick match,
right.
So I can agree with you saying that it's time for them to go. I wouldn't mind them sticking around, and I really wouldn't mind them just the whole tag team division in total just kind of going against each other, winning some, losing some, and whoever gets the best crowd pop, whoever gets the great kind of crowd reaction and the momentum, it'd be nice for to see them take off. Because that's what happened when you had Sin Cara and Mysterio. And, you know, all those teams came out of it. And we look at the Usos going like, well, the Usos, wow, they're really good. But the team that is getting the most pop, the team that looks the best together, has the most talent, is Road Scholars. Mm-hmm. And they never did anything with that. Yeah. So I wouldn't mind seeing that with all these teams.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with it staying if they wanted to stick it out for a couple of months because I like watching them wrestle. They're good. I'm just saying Basically, there's two things. One is I don't think the WWE would do it that way. But the other thing I believe is at whatever point they decide to split the team, it's gonna be it's not gonna be amicable. How's that? So I don't see whenever they lose the titles, I think that's when the split's gonna happen anyway. So it wasn't as much as I'm saying I don't think that they could have a good run as being kind of like, you know, just in the mix fighting for it. But I just think once they get to the point where they drop the belts, that is going to be the end of the team because they're pretty volatile anyway.
Well, I'm going to cut you off one more time.
Well, I was done.
But you're right. You're absolutely right. So everything I just said is all for naught. Let me just go back 5 minutes.
Jason, cut that stuff out.
Yo, do the rewind. Yeah. Okay. So that's good. It's funny we weren't even going to talk about the tag teams this close. I thought it was going to be more Cesaro Kofi.
Do you want to talk about that match a little bit? Just
no, I don't think there's anything really to be said. I thought it was a really good match. Mm-hmm. I thought Cesaro did the job like he always did. I had no problem with him losing. I mean, the problem I did have is just the direction that his character is going.
Right.
I have no problem with Kofi. I had no problem with Kofi doing it because Kofi can perform, but I think the thing that is kind of getting missed out of this whole thing is that, yeah, Kofi can perform, but does he make the guy that he's wrestling better? And I really thought Cesaro was able to shine with what Kofi was doing just on his strength alone, but I really thought that Cesaro really brought out the best in Kofi. The biggest problem I had, and it's Wednesday night, and so you have the WWE main event. The biggest problem I had was R-Truth beating
Wade Barrett.
And even that DDT, I'm looking at it, I was like, what the hell is that? I thought it looked like a side slam. I thought Wade Barrett did a side slam on him. It didn't look like a DDT to me.
It's not a DDT. It's a jumping complete shot.
Yeah, well, it looks like...
A good move. I think it's a good move.
It was.
But I was debating Logan on this very same thing.
And who won?
I did.
You won, okay. So what are you trying to say? I have the chops of Logan over here?
No,
Dad! He starts crying and stuff. You're like, hit him a couple times. Shut up, kid.
No, Logan's a very astute observer.
From the camera, it was the camera angle. It was the camera angle. But just from the angle of that thing, it's just one of these, to me, it kind of felt like a Biggie Langston finisher. Because it didn't, you don't know who's getting hurt where. I just don't think it's a move that would knock out Wade Barrett. I really have a problem with this whole Raw. There's a couple good things to go off on a tangent real fast. When the Bella Twins are wrestling, I watch it. They're not the best wrestlers going around, but I watch it, and I wasn't doing that before. So there's something to that. I think What's-Her-Name is very, very vanilla as a champ. Yeah, she's fine, but there's just no... It's like Rockin' Robin, dude. She's like Rockin' Robin. You know? She has no charisma. People just cheer because she's the good champion, whatever. It was nice to see her lose. I didn't know a rope shot was to the throat was that big of a thing to make her do the 1-2-3. It's along the lines of an R-Truth finisher, but I really have a problem. It didn't make any sense for R-Truth to win. I guess he's now the number one contender. But then you have a WWE main event. I don't know if you watch it or not, where it's a Royal Rumble to determine who's going to face
tonight. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, so it just doesn't.
To
face Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship. So it doesn't make any sense to me. We always harp on, and the first thing I thought when I turned off Raw was protect your champion. You don't protect Ziggler. Cesaro loses. I have no problem with Cesaro losing. Do I have a problem? Yeah, I do. But I don't have a problem with him actually losing the belt because at least when he lost, it meant something. You have Wade Barrett losing. You have Caitlyn losing. You have all these people losing. It's like, protect your flipping champions. Yeah. And what's the point of them being champions if they can have non-title matches and lose every week and enhance other talent? It should be the other way around. The point of having an Intercontinental Champion or U.S. Champion is that these guys win all the time. And the guys that are trying to go for the Intercontinental Championship or the U.S. Championship, they fight each other. Yeah, and then you can enhance that talent by these two guys that aren't champions fighting each other to face the Intercontinental Champion, and then you can put that guy that wins that match. I mean, is this wrestling 101? I just don't get it. Then that guy can get enhanced even more. It's like it's a way to build up your mid-card for people to be interested in it, and all they're doing is they're throwing these guys out there against the Intercontinental Champion, and not only are they doing it, but they're being the Intercontinental Champion. How many times have you seen a successful non-title match for the Intercontinental Championship where he defends his title, or not even defends his title, but defends his
he wins and he's and the title's not on the line.
Yeah.
It's probably somewhere in like the 35 to 40%, I'd say.
I'd probably say it's on the Ziggler level of how much Ziggler wins and loses, which is a sad thing. We finally put the belt on.
That was like 20-30% probably.
I'd probably say 15.
No, well they've they've done statistics.
Okay.
I've seen metrics on this kind of stuff. If I want to get all baseball with it, and yeah, no, I think for televised matches last year he was somewhere around the 20-30%. In terms of wins, Ziggler was. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, that was like half of the first podcast we did was, you know, Intercontinental and U.S. You gotta protect those guys. They gotta win. You've been saying from day one when we did this podcast, champion, like these non-title matches are killing the shows, and it is. It gets silly. I mean, I will defend R-Truth's finisher. I agree with what you said. I think at the angle, and especially if you watch it because it's quick, I think it doesn't look very good. It kind of did look like a side slam. I knew what he was going to do, so I kind of PMD'd it.
Because you're a big R-Truth fan?
Because I like that move.
Because you're going to get got?
Yeah, you're going to get got. No, I came around on R-Truth a little bit. I give him credit at like 15 to 20 years in the business. He's able to reinvent himself and come up with a new moveset.
Well, he has,
unlike some people, right? But his complete shot.
I like John Cena.
I know you do. He's a very good guy.
The problem I have with R-Truth is, okay, yeah, he has changed his moveset up. And when he was doing the whole little Jimmy thing and he was kind of being a heel, he had that gray area, I was fine with him. But now he's just back to the way he was before.
I'm not defending him winning that match. So that was kind of what I was. If I wasn't cut off, I would have gotten to that point.
Oh, here we go.
I'm defending that. I think that finisher is legit, but I am not defending him winning the match. Wade Barrett clearly should have won the match.
Kevin, we cross.
we're just capital.
All right. So what else we got?
Actually, I kind of whiffed it a little bit. I wanted to get back on Ryback because I didn't.
Yeah, we went on a tangent, went on for a long time.
Yeah, but we showed on or he showed a little bit of versatility on the mic and laid out a good reasoning. But what I also thought was kind of interesting is he apparently went off on a little bit of a Twitter rant and an anti John Cena Twitter rant, and subsequently had to pull down all his tweets. But
he had to pull down all his tweets.
They got all his tweets got removed. So I saw through what's that guy Meltzer had caught him. So he like transcribed it. Like I don't know if it was all the tweets, but basically
does WWE think it's ESPN now or what?
I don't know, but he said something about he referenced the John Cena divorce.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah,
and but then they pulled down. I think he had a couple of tweets related to Cena. They pulled them down. He also had a somewhat not intentionally offensive tweet on Monday that got removed as well. But
which was what?
Well, he kind of... It was before the bombing, right? Okay. But he said something like, going to war and, you know, people lose limbs and this and that.
Yeah.
And it was before the bombing.
Yeah.
But then subsequently after the bombing, it was, you know, inappropriate. So they pulled it. But that's like a string of him. I mean, it's good that he sees what's happening in wrestling and he's trying to interact and tweet. I think whether the tweets are good or not, it's a good thing that he's trying to do that. But that's kind of a sad start that that the first week you really start tweeting, you get all your stuff pulled. So I don't know, but that is kind of the news of the day. I think it's good that whether what he's doing works or not, at least they're trying to move the character forward. At least I'll say that much.
I think that's a microcosm of what the WWE is.
Yeah.
I think any company that pulls tweets or silences someone for speaking their mind, especially when this guy makes a lot of money for you, Bill Simmons, and he's somewhat respected or is trying to establish himself.
Sports Guy 33.
Yeah. So I'm not going to sit here and go like I'm all for whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. no, I mean, Ryback, I was actually just really impressed that I'm looking at him going like, my thumb's on the fast forward button, and I'm like, I can't do it, you know, and so yeah. I thought it was fine. It it shows another facet to this guy, and I'm kind of thinking, like, you know, everything that I've been saying about him, that you've been saying about him, because you've been really harsh on the guy. I haven't. I've been singing his praises and saying, you know, he's paid his dues. Just give him a chance, man. Give him a chance. But one thing that your biggest thing that you always said is that Ryback can't cut it on the mic. And he cut it on the mic last time. Yeah, it was scripted. It'd be fun to see what he can do on the mic over there. But I think in the beginning, WWE saw him as a Goldberg guy. So we're like, okay, it worked with Goldberg, so it can work with this guy. They look at Ryback and go like, oh, that's Bill Goldberg. So yeah, let's do the same line that he did.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when they tried to put Goldberg on the mic, the guy just sucked. I still remember his very first promo he ever did in the middle of the ring. He was trying to call himself the professor, and he kept on saying classes in session, but you really couldn't hear him. He's like, class in session. Class in session. He's like, I'm the professor. Yeah. No, the huff up is a great thing.
Don't even bring it up.
Yeah,
we'll save a special time for huff up up.
Yeah, so we'll see how it plays out. It's for a first start. For this is going to be a first title match for John Cena, and I'm hoping that we're not going to get this whole every month thing around the pay per view. Mm-hmm. He just goes on the line and kicks whoever's ass he wants to kick. Hopefully, Ryback can at least for 2-3 months do something. I don't care whether he wins or loses, because
just make a real rivalry.
Yeah, right? Would you watch Ryback face John Cena?
No,
you wouldn't. Well,
free TV. I wouldn't fast forward it if it was on Raw.
Well,
I'm saying pay for it.
I know you wouldn't pay for it, but okay. So if you're able to watch the pay per view, like when I went into WrestleMania knowing that I wasn't going to care about Triple H and whatever his name is, I wouldn't care about The Rock and Cena. If you had the pay-per-view, would that be a match that you would kind of want to gear towards the end to see what would happen?
No.
Not at all? Nothing with Ryback and John Cena?
No.
I disagree with it. I think I wouldn't be like on pins and needles, like looking forward to like what's going to happen. But I wouldn't mind seeing how Ryback performs against a guy like Cena who can kick out of everything or whatever it is. I wouldn't mind seeing it the first time. And if it's going to be a case of no sell Cena, I'll know right away what that is. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing, I'd be interested to see how that shake out.
I'd watch it, but I wouldn't, like, I think I know how it's going to go. So I wouldn't try to pump myself up.
How's it going to go?
like all John Cena matches go.
What do you mean? Is there going to be some talking in the middle of the ring?
Ryback, roll over.
Ryback, say feed me more. Say feed me more right here.
Move your arms. Pump your arms up. I've been hard on Ryback, but here's the two things. Here's my two tenets of Ryback. Okay, one was that they pushed him too hard too soon. Okay, now these kind of idea of these like pre-recorded canned promos, that's something he should have been doing 4 months ago instead of putting him in the ring with a microphone. Because once they do that, he just looks stupid, just like at the end of Raw. He looked really dumb just trying to stare down John Cena, snorting and cracking his neck and going cross-eyed every 30 seconds. And John Cena just filibustered him, man. I mean, like, anybody else jumps in and says something. Like, John Cena even looked like he gave him, like, a couple spots where he paused and, like, are you gonna grab the mic? Are you going to say anything? And he just stood in there going, ha, ha, right?
So, what was he doing?
They should have started him with those kind of canned promos and transitioned him up to getting in the ring and talking to somebody. Like, that is pretty much how that should have gone. My other tenet of Ryback, if I may...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
...is that he should have a mouthpiece. Now, I'm not trying to say anything
like... Like a muzzle? all that growling you've been doing?
Yeah,
I mean, the whole thing is...
He's foaming at the
mouth. You guys have heard this guy go... But I've actually had to see it, so... Okay. No, I'm just talking about you. No, you're just doing it right now. Yeah. What the hell are you talking about, dude?
I was like, whoa.
Why is everything going to be like homoerotic over there, you know? It's like...
I thought you maybe walked in one day.
You ever...
I can't believe... Oh, shit. Oh, you got the ice.
opening those old magazines. Yeah. Huh?
Kev, you forgot the ice.
I got the Sports Illustrated magazine. Oh, Kathy Ireland's on it.
Dude, come on. You know all the penthouses were in the bushes down at the park.
Along the train tracks in San Francisco that we used to walk on.
The wrong side of the tracks.
Okay, so he's going to have a muzzle.
Well,
second
time. Yeah, he should have had him, not Paul Heyman, because he's obviously occupied with other talent, but somebody to speak for him, right? I don't want to, go back and steal old gimmicks, but, when you had Umaga, right? As good as Umaga was in the ring, and he was 100 times better than Ryback in the ring, they had Estrada out there to talk for him. And not that Estrada was a great talker, but at least he could get to the points that had to be gotten to when you're trying to sell a big match with somebody. Because he had a lot of matches with, I think, Triple H and maybe Batista, too, on the way up. He had, a short run at maybe he was going to get a title shot. And that was good just to have somebody do the talking for him. I think, Ryback is a perfect example. If you have somebody do the talking for him, you could have him out and have that final segment go a lot better.
Who would it be? I mean, there's nobody there that can do that. I definitely don't want to see an Estrada type. I think if it's a case where
I haven't thought this through. I'll throw a name: Brad Maddox. At least Brad Maddox can get up there and talk. He could play the bitch role and then run and hide behind Ryback once he talks a bunch of shit. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. I haven't thought it through, but at least somebody. They can go out there and talk. It's like Heyman does a great job selling Lesnar matches, even though I'm not necessarily interested in him because in the end I know what it's going to be. But Heyman does a great job selling them because Brock Lesnar can't get up there and talk, and they accept that and they're fine with that. But for some reason they don't accept that and try to fix that with Ryback, and I don't understand that part.
Well, here's the problem that I have with the right things that you're saying. When
I like that.
Well, I mean, it's nothing wrong with what you're saying.
What's the problem with the right things that you're saying?
But when you had Lesnar on UFC and he was on the, someone was fighting and he was kind of right before the match and they were talking to him. Mm-hmm. It's the whole Triple H thing. The guy, Lesnar is an engaging guy. Mm-hmm. Triple H is an engaging personality. Mm-hmm. But then you put them right by the business, and they fucking suck. So it's just kind of the whole thing that they're not giving these guys any type of chance to really get their personalities out there.
Perhaps they are, we'll take this old term, perhaps they are marks for themselves.
They could be marks for themselves.
Wait, I can't go out and just be a regular guy, dude. I gotta be a badass when I jump in that ring.
Vince, when I gotta get on the mic, I gotta put people to sleep. Yeah, I feel like going up to these guys and smacking them around going, hey, you're a cool guy and people really, really want to get to know you. Stop. I can't do it, John.
Something happens
move.
When I walk down that ramp. It changes the ending of all of my sentences.
They said the arena wants to have their water bill up when I get on the mic, so they all go to the bathroom. I mean, okay. So enough of that. Ryback.
Yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. You're saying in the long run that right now Ryback is working, but in the long run, if he wants to do anything else, he has no chance because of your two tenets of Ryback.
Yeah. So even if it's not a manager mouthpiece style, put him in a faction, right? I thought he worked great as the heavy in some kind of faction where someone else can work. I mean, it's definitely going to stunt his career if he thinks he has aspirations to be the world champion. Okay, but the best case scenario for him would be to do something kind of like the Batista career arc would be, you come in, you're this monster, you get in some group like Evolution, and you get under the wing of someone that can show you how to talk. And then when that thing breaks, if you can...
You go down the toilet because you suck.
Nah, he ascended after that.
He was fine. I think.
But he did. But his career went up.
His career went up. But he barred me half the fucking death.
Well, that may be, but...
Especially the whole John Cena Batista rivalry thing going.
But is that Batista?
What rivalry has Batista had that you remember and you can sit there and go like this is
Rey Mysterio? Nah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I
rest my case.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he couldn't speak at all before he joined Evolution, and he can cut a respectable, not great, but a respectable promo after.
I think when you compare it to Jeff Hardy and all these other guys that were cutting promos at the time, and his looks fine, I think if you have a piece of crap on the top of a whole other piece of crap, it's still a piece of crap. I mean, he never cut a good promo, dude. Just because he was the best promo cutter at a time when there's no good promo cutters doesn't make him a good promo cutter.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in like any kind of like top 50 list. But what I'm saying is, like, his ring work was good and his mic work was passable, and it was enough for sure. It was
so that's going to be the career arc. Your career arc for Ryback then is that
his best case scenario.
Yeah,
okay. I don't think. I mean, if he has any kind of idea that he's going to be more successful superstar than Batista. I think that's
right back. Strive to be number.
But I don't want
to strive to be number 35. Yeah.
But I don't want. I mean, but I don't want to spend too much. We may have to start talking about Batista at some point soon because there's some discussion. But I'd rather talk about another wrestler from a few years back.
Very good.
And, hey, you like that?
Yeah.
I wasn't even going to bring up how smooth that was.
You always got to bring up how smooth it is.
I'll let you do that.
Just like the doctor.
The doctor. I want to talk about somebody that is more your guy than mine. I really like him, but you know, this was your guy all the way through, Scott Hall. And I kind of wanted to kind of do a segment maybe weekly now where we always talk about current stuff, but like a lot of the, you know, why we like wrestling is based on a lot of these guys that we grew up watching, and maybe just kind of talk about some of these guys.
What are you gonna call the segment?
Tell him what your name is.
He's there, easy.
I don't know, but yeah. This will be the first one, and I want to lead off talking about Scott Hall. Now, like, you know, as we've kind of discussed here, you know, we're on Twitter, and we will follow some wrestlers that we like. And I remember before talking about you when I started trying to figure out who are more people that I want to follow. And one person I brought to you by name was Scott Hall, and he said that, you know, you followed him for a while, but, like, you kind of got depressed because, like, his tweets were kind of dark and rambling at a lot of times. And I had taken a look, and I knew exactly what you were talking about. And one of the things with Scott Hall is, like, you know, we've seen all these wrestlers that we grew up really liking, you know, pass away and have bad things happen to them. And, you know, you could just, it all signs pointed in the direction that, like, that's where Scott Hall had been headed for a long time. But within the last couple of months, he's gotten together with DDP and Jake the Snake, who's had another, like, tremendous turnaround in his life, too. And if you're
turnaround number 10, but yeah, go ahead.
But I'll give him credit, though. and like Scott Hall has kind of joined the house, and I've been following him on Twitter, and it's been like really refreshing, I think, for me. Like,
in what type of way?
Just, I was concerned that the guy wasn't going to be around too long, and like, you know, because I follow Nash, right, and I've been following Nash for a while, and like he has always said, kind of, Scott's going to get help when Scott wants to get help, and obviously, like, WWE's like spent a lot trying to put Scott Hall into rehab and whatnot, and it's all failed. But I think this one looks like it could be a really good thing because Paige, you know, wrestlers have that very unique world, and Paige, you know, he knows that world, and so does the Snake. And so, I mean, I've been just kind of some of the things that he says or whatever. It's all positive, and I don't know. I just felt pretty good because, you know, I didn't want to see another guy that I grew up cheering for, you know, go that route.
So I hate to do this to you, but what type of positive things that you remember from this Twitter feed that is backing up what you're saying? Because the Scott Hall Twitter feed that I know is you have a bunch of marks asking for retweets and everything, and he retweets everybody, and it's depressing in a way where, not so much with Scott Hall, but you have all these guys that are wrestling fans. I mean, it's sad. It's to the point where it's like, hey, Scott Hall, you wrestled this guy in 1989. Here's a picture. And then Scott Hall retweets it. Or it's like, hey, Scott Hall, you're in the WWF in 1992. And then Scott Hall retweets it. It's just, it's all these spammers on Twitter latching onto this guy. And he retweets everything. And it's just, you know, if that's the way that he is, that's the way he is. The only cynical part of me with this whole thing is that, okay, DDP's yoga and stuff. Can you stop coughing when I'm talking?
No, Jason's going to edit that.
No, he's not going to edit it. With the air quotes around it or what? No.
Yeah.
No, but so the whole thing is, you have DDP doing his yoga, and he's stumping his yoga. He was stumping his yoga before he met up with Scott Hall and Jake the Snake Roberts, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I mean, that's the whole reason why we're on Twitter, is to stump this podcast. there's a part of me that kind of looks at it and says, like, they're trying to get a TV deal done with Jake being in the house and with Scott Hall being in the house. They're trying to push it as a pilot so it, you know, so they can make money off of it. Which is, that's what it is. It's always looking for an extra buck. You know, they did, I believe they did pay for Scott Hall to go to the house. They had stuff on Twitter where people were donating money for Scott to be able to fly over there and everything. You know, Scott, you know, Scott Hall's seen it before. I don't even know why I'm calling him Scott by the first name. Scott Hall's, he's done this before, where he's kind of had a time where he's trying to get on the right track. WWE was kind of like that. Then he has a relapse. He gets released. And then, he's unreliable, you know, with a lot of promotions. If he's getting help, he's getting help. I just think his Twitter... I really don't like it when he's on Twitter because I have all these marks that are taking advantage of him so they can get some type of fame or get a couple follows out of it. And it's like another way of him being used. And I think anybody that tries to get a retweet from Scott or send him a picture so they can get retweeted from it, he's very susceptible to doing that. They know he is. So what's the real reason behind it? And this goes into a whole thing about Twitter within itself. Like when the Boston bombings happened and everything like that, and they said pray for Boston, and they're putting the hashtag pray for Boston. And I'm kind of sitting there going, okay, well, why are you putting the hashtag there? It's one thing to be like a community on Twitter, maybe something I don't really know. Maybe everybody wants to kind of be in the same boat of doing a hashtag and stuff so all these people are solid behind Boston. But there's a part of me that really feels that you're trying to draw attention to yourself by talking about something else or talking about someone else or getting a retweet here and there. So it's just that kind of that whole thing about Twitter that's really kind of a gray area. And I think everybody that follows Scott Hall and tries to talk to Scott Hall wants to get a retweet, and there's other reasons behind it why they're doing all this stuff. So I have followed Scott Hall again because you're right, it has been more positive. I just get tired of all the marks trying to come out of the woodworks trying to get a retweet from this guy.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely that. But, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily see anything sinister in that. But, I mean, what you said makes sense. I actually think he's pretty interesting when he's live tweeting wrestling. I think this is, like, his eye for the show is really good. And, you know, he's still a straight shooter. I remember a lot of, like, kind of the time when you and I were... debating on whether, like, how good Jericho was at this point and how worth he was having around. And pretty soon thereafter, there was a couple of the really good matches we talked about. And one thing he tweeted was, like, it's like, if you can't have a good match with Jericho, get out of the business.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just straight to the point, but exactly right. And actually been kind of, I don't think he, like, he doesn't put over wrestlers that don't really deserve to be put over, right? Like Fandango, right? Like, he's getting over big time on the internet. But Scott Hall hasn't really, like his take was more, like, you know, he didn't really do much in that match. You know, Jericho, I think he said, like, Jericho had a good match. But, you know, I really don't know what the other guy did. And, like, at that, you know, even though a lot of people are just swooning to say how good Fandango is right now, even though really he hasn't done anything... he's pretty straight up with his commentary on, like, how wrestlers are doing. And I like following him at those times.
Well, we can sit here and say how great Scott Hall is, but we also have to look at what Scott Hall is. Scott Hall is the type, when he came back in WWE, was talking to all the boys and saying, like, hey, you got a great finisher. I can't wait to kick out of it. Mm-hmm. He also has this other famous saying, and I'll probably botch this one up like a Sin Cara match, but he's saying you can either make friends in this business or you can make money. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'd rather make money. So... Scott Hall is his own person. I don't want to sit here and say, like, do I like Scott Hall? I thought Scott Hall was great. It's funny, whenever there's a slow time in my second job, you know, we have YouTube right there, I put Scott Hall on for all of his old bad guy stuff, and everybody around me is just, like, cracking up. You know, yeah. He's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, this guy had it. And his stuff in WWF when he was the bad guy, Razor Ramon, mm-hmm. Wasn't really that good. It wasn't until he was, like, in WCW where I really think he took off. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, this guy's a saint and everything like that.
No one's saying that. I mean, I'm just saying, like, for as dark as a lot of his probably last 15 years have been, and for the history of what we've seen of guys that we grew up watching wrestle, like, it looks at least for, and better than probably a lot of the other times. It looks kind of like he may, you know, he's going in the right direction, and I think it's good for me, at least now that their social media exists, to kind of have just like a little bit of a glimpse to see it, you know what I mean?
Well, it's all fine and good to say that this guy is trying this and this, but I'm not going to believe anything until he actually does it. And yeah, he's taking steps to do it. I'm glad that you come from a background where you don't have close family members say that they're changing and they're doing all this stuff and they let you down. I'm glad that you don't have to go through that. I've seen that too many times within my personal family history life where it's like, you know, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this. And they do it for a while, they go on the straight and narrow, and then they go back to the way they were before. So until he does it, until he's a 100% changed person or whatever it is, it's funny. it's funny that I'm bringing this up, but I'll tell this to Scott Hall right now. Don't sing it. Bring it. And until he can bring it year in and year out, then I'm totally on the ride that you're on. So I'm glad we have this segment. I thought Scott Hall is one of the best bumpers in the business. That guy could bump for anybody, and he made everybody look like $1 million, and he could do the exact same thing and kind of bump other people. Well, it's funny that you did this, because one thing I wanted to bring up was you saw G.I. Joe Retaliation, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it. Okay. So the one question I have is that Rock is supposed to be Gung-Ho or something like that?
No, he's Roadblock.
Roadblock, okay. So you're a big G.I. Joe fan. So I'm going to ask you, and then you can ask me another toy line that we used to play with all the time. So name off right now the top five G.I. Joe guys that you can name off the top of your head.
Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. And then I like Quick Kick.
Okay, so that's
three.
Yeah, don't think about it. Just the first five that come in your head.
Shipwreck was cool.
Shipwreck.
I like Shipwreck. Dude was funny.
With the parrot?
Yeah. Dude was funny. I like Roadblock. Roadblock was cool. Gung Ho was cool. I didn't really care for Duke or Flint.
Well, I just asked you for five. So, so your first five was Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes, which is a given. Quick Kick, which is a travesty.
Sorry. Let me take Quick Kick out. I'll put Tunnel Rat. I like Tunnel Rat.
There you go. Tunnel Rat was your guy. Yeah. So, okay, so Tunnel Rat, Shipwreck, and then you said Roadblock or Gung-Ho. For some reason, I always think of Monkey Wrench. Whenever I think of G.I. Joe, I think of Monkey Wrench for some reason.
Do you remember which guy he is exactly?
He was one of the Dreadnoughts.
Yeah.
He was one of the newer Dreadnoughts. He was one of the first toys for Hasbro to come out that had, like, built-in muscles. Remember, he was all yoked up? He was, like, one of the first guys to have that, because before everybody was all skinny and stuff.
Ricardo Montalban prosthetic chest.
You were supposed to do a Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, I don't think
so. You got any toy lines for me, the first five? And then we can finish this real fast.
No, you want. I mean, the only other one would be the Transformers.
There you go. See,
you got your five?
I think I do have my five. I don't know if it's my favorite five, but Cup, Omega Supreme, Cliffhanger, Beachcomber.
Cliff Jumper. Beachcomber.
Beachcomber. That was my boy.
That was your guy.
The last one would probably have to be, geez, I'm drawing a blank. Who's the red van guy?
Oh,
Roblox.
No.
That wasn't a Roblox?
No.
Ironhide. It was Shockwave thrown in. With a little bit of Shockwave thrown in.
Shockwave.
And then the black and purple jet. Thunder.
Thundercracker.
No, Skywarp.
Yeah, Thundercracker was the blue and
yeah, gray. Skywarp. Okay. All right, so we're done with that. So.
All right. There we go. Well, we were kind of talking there before we segued into that on Scott Hall, and one of the things that he had kind of brought up, or we were talking about, like, his things on Fandango. I kind of wanted to talk to you about Fandango just because he became somewhat of a pop culture icon for about 5 minutes.
They were looking for the next round of shake and never came to fruition.
Right. But the Houston Texan cheerleaders were nice. But, I mean, I don't know, dude. He's the kind of wrestler that I should like. And my radar is out there that, okay, for me, as like a internet guy or whatever, like a smart whatever, he's the type of guy I know I'm supposed to like. And I'm waiting to see him do something that makes me like him, and I'm not seeing it yet. But now there's this whole thing where, like, I think, I don't know what, they're just kind of like
flash in the pan.
Yeah, but like it just came so hard, and they're like, "Well, let's just push it as fast as we can to see." I still don't know if this dude can even go in the ring, and that's my biggest problem. I don't have a problem with him doing.
So why are we talking about him? What do you want to talk about this guy? That
I'm just curious. Like, what's the phenomenon? I'm not sure.
I think it was the entity known as the New Jersey crowd, and the New Jersey crowd really, really kind of rebelled against this whole thing. And it's his gimmick is so stupid, and his theme song is so stupid. It's like I can sit here. You know, I was thinking about it today too. It's actually funny because it's like, you know, when he first came out, we didn't like him. Then New Jersey gets a hold of him. We're kind of seeing the potential in him, and then maybe somewhere down the line, we'll slowly start liking him. And I was thinking about today is that he's the type of wrestler that you would have liked in 1987. I mean, he has Tom Zank written all over him, just his build.
I was thinking about the other day, it's a total Rick Rude gimmick.
Yeah,
it's a complete like ravishing Rick Rude. Like.
It's a whole Jean-Claude Van Damme thing too. It's like you have these guys that, you know, he's not yoked up, but I mean his musculature or whatever it is. That is built for 1985, 1986, 87. I mean, he would have been great there. I'll give him one thing, and I don't know if it's anything else. His leg drop's not bad. I don't mind his leg drop. And even the one thing that I can take away from anything that he does is the way he jumps on the top rope. You know, he jumps on the top rope. He spins around. He's not climbing on. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he has some type of agility there. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen enough of him. I don't think this whole fandangoing thing is. I think it's more than what's supposed to be. I don't think people really care about it. I think it had a nice little run. I think it exploded on Twitter, and anybody trying to make a name for themselves on Twitter, get follows for themselves on Twitter, mm-hmm. mentioned him and everything. The fandangoing thing, I felt it was like they're looking for the next Harlem Shake, and it just it's not there, yeah. and it's not going to be there. It's a flash in the pan, and I had no problem with him coming out on Raw, because if you can create that type of buzz, then go ahead and go out there and see what you can do. But did he do anything? No, he didn't do anything. So he needs to be in the ring. He needs, you know, the jury's still out. Because I think the debut was bad. This is kind of going on. It was a letdown a week after. But, listen, I didn't like Cesaro in the beginning. I didn't like Damian Sandow in the beginning. WWE has a way of taking these guys and making something out of them, and we'll see what happens from there. And if he takes off, by all means, let's go for it. I have no problem with him doing that. The one thing I do want to talk to you about, and one thing you don't have on your list, is CM Punk turning Chris Jericho on Raw, and what your feeling about that is.
Going silent?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty interesting, actually. It got me to thinking, is there a chance that they might be priming him for a face turn or something. I mean, I know behind the scenes is that his knee's not good, so he's got to take some time off. So I thought if this was the way to kind of like write him out of the story for a short period of time, it's good. I mean, he did a really good job. You know, he looked contrite for the first time in over a year. I mean, he's been like this really arrogant champion. It's been great. He's had all the reasons to say, you know, he's held the belt and, you know, you can't say anything to me because this says it all. And now he's had, he's not been successful in his last two feuds, right? The Rock and The Undertaker. And for a guy that goes and runs his mouth for over a year and a half, I mean, you got to kind of sit there and eat it. So he played it well. But, you know, that character that he's been has not been contrite in any way, right? And he's always found a way to speak his way out of anytime anyone might have questioned him on something, right? So for him to have nothing to say, it makes it interesting. Like, I don't know if that's a character change that we're going to see or what, but, you know, everything he does is good. It's always effective. He knows how to work the crowd. I thought it was a good segment.
So do you want him to be a face again?
See, it doesn't matter to me as much. I thought he was a really good face. So, I mean, I tend to lean towards heels, but I don't think there's a whole lot of really good faces out there right now anyway. So, in a way, I don't think it'd be the worst thing if he was a face. It might, but you know, it could set up like a pretty good series of matches with him and Ziggler, which would be awesome. But at the same time, I probably think it's better off. He's such a great heel. Let him stay heel. Let Jericho, I mean, let Ziggler go face. I think either way, they need a couple of new baby face guys that are kind of top level guys, especially if they're now deciding that Ryback's going heel. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Orton heel turn is soon to follow. So aside from Cena and Sheamus, you really don't have much going right now. So I think it's time for somebody to turn face. I would select Ziggler before I would do Punk, but Punk's a good baby face too.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Ziggler do a face run. You kind of have some roadblocks in there with AJ and Big E. Speaking of Big E, the guy's a different cat, isn't he? I mean, he's been on the mic a couple times. You can tell, I mean, from what I kind of see without looking at it too much, I think he's a very educated person.
Yeah.
And he doesn't fit the whole...
Well, he did go to Iowa.
Okay. So maybe he's not in... Okay. But it's the rice, right? Corn?
Wow. Be careful over there. Good thing you're out of reach.
Crispix, dude. The Crispix. Yeah, they don't even know what the Crispix is, dude.
They don't. They don't know about colon blow either, but that's
a
story.
Was that with Ryback again? But, I mean, the whole thing is he's been on the mic a couple times. He doesn't do the shook and jive stuff. I think he's somewhere down the line. I think he has a lot of potential now. But just his personality, just you look at what this guy has done over the past couple months, and the one thing that we don't talk about enough, and I don't think we really talked about the spot, but that whole spot with Kane and him powering out of Kane's chokeslam. It's just good stuff, you know. And it's funny, like his facial expressions and stuff. It's funny, like you feel like he's kind of out there, but you feel you kind of know exactly what he knows exactly what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And even with some of the promos that he's had with interview time and stuff, he's talking about crazy stuff, and he's talking, you know, he has theories and stuff and everything like that. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see somewhere down the line. I think that guy has a lot of potential, and he's great in the ring. Let's just change his finisher up. Everybody can change their finisher up.
You know, I've kind of come around.
You've come around to it.
Well, I did. After that person, the second time I watched it, I watched it a few times, and he does a good job of like really pulling the guy down. So, like, if I'm trying to go wrestling logic here, and if you got the guy's sternum right in your shoulder, and you fall back on it and you pull it in, yeah, that's gonna knock the wind out of you for a
bit. Put a lot of fun doing that.
I did, because... Yeah,
hey, that's what makes you better have my donuts.
Well, I mean, like I said, at first I thought it was a lot of sizzle with no substance, but when I thought about...
A lot of sizzling?
Yeah.
A lot of steak-em?
It melts inside your stomach with the eggs and crispy clean.
Very good. Look at your reaction, instead of being like, hey, Kim, what about you?
Instead of doing the 3-second pause and then the young MC.
You're not talking to the game, dude. I like it. So, we're coming up to an hour. I think we're good, man. I don't see what anything else is different. This really isn't. It's kind of fun to do these podcasts. Yeah, Cena, boring chance. You know what? Until anything happens with Cena, I'm not going to waste my time with him. Because we say the same thing over and over with this guy. So, we have Better Have My Dumps over here on Bad News Ramen. Pretty good, man. You got anything else you want to say?
You want to help me out with some Japanese wrestlers? See, I'm trying to finish my WWE 13 universe.
Okay.
And I would like to have one more Japanese wrestling faction, right? So I got enough spots. I got like 5 spots, so I can take any of the guys that I want to bring in, right? And I think I'm going to bring in Okada, right?
Okay.
But I'm trying to think if you got anybody that you've had your eye on that would be another guy that I could bring into
straying away from this one topic that we used to do every single time, and we moved over to Podbean, so a lot of people know about it. But I used to have a segment on Japanese wrestlers is my Raleigh Fingers Japanese segment, and this is what I mean is that I have this top 100 baseball players of all time that the Sporting News did, right? Mm-hmm. So they asked all these old time guys like your top 5 most dominant hitters or top 5 most scariest pitchers to face, you know, as a pitcher, or top 5 best gifted all around gifted athletes, right? So here you have Raleigh Fingers coming up, right? He's like top 5 hitters right now that I admire. It's like, dude, I'm like, really, you admire him, Molly? I bet on my donuts. I really admire that guy. Yeah. But I did have a segment, you know, Japanese wrestlers that
you admire.
I admire. Yeah. And you got to
breathe on the A's.
You got to breathe on the A's. But so the one guy that I think that you need to have up, looks like we're out of time. So. Better have my donuts over here.
Come on. There's still like seven, there's like 8 seconds left.
It's all the way down at the bottom. So better have my donuts. I'm Bad News Ramen. We have the producer. I think I'm JP84.
A bunch of numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not good with numbers, as we all know from.
Well, I'm not good at names. So either way, Jason Scrooge.
I think there's a C in there too.
Yeah. Jason is as screwed as a gas attendant is in the next movie episode of The Marine. And it's probably gonna be John Cena's great grandson. It'll probably be Caitlin will probably be the marionette or something like that. You know, she's so hit up for business. It'll probably be her as the next Marine.
Can she shave her head like G.I.
No, she shouldn't shave her head. I like the whole blonde black thing going. You know,
no, she's hot.
But I like the two girls with the black hair instead.
Oh, you like?
They have long the faces. Twins? Yeah, they have long faces. But you know, they're okay to look at. In the
Marine. Well, you are. You are along the lines of a Billy Gunn. You are more of an ass man.
True.
So
yeah.
That would be.
What yeah. And to compare him to Billy Gunn without saying that, I think it's just time in right now.
I
so
didn't say you like Billy Gunn.
Well, you kind of did. No. Kind of actually, yeah.
you share that trait. How's that?
What a Billy Gunn.
You're an ass man.
Okay. But I don't shake it or anything like that. Okay. Anyway. All right.
I like to kick him.
I definitely.
You like to punch him.
I definitely think. We need to cut this part out. So, Jason, please help me out over here.
Let's do him a solid.
This guy, you know, busts a couple of jokes on News Scale. He thinks he can start running the show. So, bet out my dunes over here at Bad News Ramen. We'll check you out next week. And let's go from there. You out?
I'm going to go home and watch the main event.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you later.
Later. You think you know me?